If I sort of like go silent for a minute, I'm just trying to work out what to do, okay? So don't worry, I'm not, you know, anything, I'm just trying to work out, because actually I want us to come back into a place of worship. Did you know that God waits to be wanted? Did you know that? And so often, I want to be waited on. I want God to wait on me. I want him to fix this. I want him to do certain things for me. I want him to change situations. But God is waiting for me to want him more. In your Bible, just turn, if you've got a Bible, turn to Psalm 63. And I'm gonna read Psalm 63. I'm gonna read it from the New Living Translation if you've got an online version. In the late 1940s, American theologian and pastor called A.W. Tozer took a train journey to Texas, and it was an overnight train journey. And he sat on this train, and he felt God called him to start writing. And by the time he'd got to Texas, he'd written a book called The Pursuit of God. And he wrote that book, and it was one of the most... Who borrowed this book from me? Somebody borrowed it, I don't know. And then they gave it back to me a few weeks ago. And I'm just really, really glad because I read it again and again. And this is one of the books that I will read consistently. And this is one of the things that Tozer wrote as he was trundling along to Texas. He said this, I want deliberately to encourage this mighty longing after God. Acute desire must be present, or there'll be little manifestation of Christ in his people. God waits to be wanted. Yeah. Too bad that with many of us, he waits so long, so very long, in vain. The reason that I was so happy to carry on worshiping is because I believe that God is doing something in our midst that draws us to come back to this place consistently. I just want to be in the presence of God. And the more we're in the presence of God, the more we find things that we long to see out, the more we see things breaking through. Let me just read Psalm 63 to us. And this is from the New Living Translation. This is a psalm that David wrote when he was in the wilderness of Judah, which was a very dry and dusty place. O God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you, and my soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. And when I read that, I thought, we don't live in a dry and weary land, but I just thought, okay, it's a little bit like saying, my soul longs for you like I long for the clamor of family and friends and the smell of family cooking in a lonely, cold city with no friends. I long for this. And I have seen you in your sanctuary, and I have gazed upon your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. And how I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest of feasts. I will praise you with songs of joy. I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night, because you're my helper, and I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. And I love this verse, verse 8. I just cling to you because your strong right hand holds me securely. But those who are plotting to destroy me will come to ruin. They will go down into the depths of the earth. They will die by the sword and become food for the jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who trust in him will praise him, or the liars will be silenced. There's a few things where people have said there's something new that is happening. And I do believe that God is stirring us afresh to be clearly defined in what we're doing. But we came here many of us came here to an encounter night on Friday. And it was just an incredible moment. This place was packed with people. And we just worshipped for 2 hours. And Pete was hosting it. And I was thinking, is there anything? No, there was nothing else. That was it. And you know, I just see a hunger in our midst. And the thing is, I believe that there is this sense of pursuing God, but at the same time, being satisfied with Him. Has anyone, you know, you see those, have anyone seen greyhound racing? And the greyhounds come out of the trap and they chase this rabbit. Do you know, they never catch it. And you thought, you're so dumb. Because at one point, that's their career. Their career is chasing something they never get. And you think, I suppose dogs were supposed to be intelligent. You're supposed to learn. I'd come out of that, I thought, oh, I'm not doing that. What's the point? I'm never going to get it. No, but there's this sense of God, of the psalmist is saying, no, I'm going to pursue God. But do you know what? I'm also going to be so satisfied in Him. So satisfied. We all know that God chased us first, don't we? We all know that God started this thing. It's like He started it, like being in a playground. No, He started it. He takes full responsibility. He says this, look, you didn't choose me, I chose you. He said, no one comes to me unless the Father who sent me also draws me. Sorry, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me also draws them to me. God started this thing, but now I believe God is stirring us increasingly to have a hunger and a passion. And one of the reasons is this, is that I believe in this week of prayer and fasting, God spoke to me, and I don't often stand up here and say, I believe God spoke to me, but I believe God spoke to me this week and said this, that there is a new normal for Trinity. There's a new normal for Trinity. And this is a new normal when the least confident amongst us will be happy to offer to pray for our friends. A new normal when we find it impossible to walk past somebody on the street who's in need without at least saying something to them, whatever it is. I believe that there is a new normal when our confidence will not be shattered when we offer to pray for somebody and they say, nah, thanks, I'm busy. It just won't affect us because, no, that's not, my job is just to be available. I believe that there is a new normal when the least gifted amongst us will be leading our friends to Jesus. I believe there's a new normal coming when our issues and all the things that we get so-called will be overtaken with God's issues. God's issues will be far more important. And I believe that there is a new normal coming when the stories that 2 or 3 years ago would have been really extraordinary, they will become commonplace. Commonplace. Caroline, are you able to just come up really quickly? What did I say? Can you? Yeah. Where's the microphone? Okay, this is, Caroline told us this story, and I just think this is the new normal for us. This is what will be the new normal. Over to you.
I go to
just hold it really high so we can record it as well.
Okay. Record it as well.
You don't have to record it, but just so we can all hear it.
I go to a strange club on a Thursday morning where we take half our clothes off and count our sins. And then we
do you want to explain that?
It's a slimming club. You have to get weighed. Most weeks, but not last week, the week before now, I noticed that the lady that was leading it, it's very much like this, you sit in a circle, but you talk about food. She was sort of holding her leg, one leg, sort of on a tiptoe. And it's just really annoying me as she was talking. I was thinking, what's wrong with her? What's wrong with her? She was constantly sort of doing that. And I sat there thinking, I know I should go and pray for her. And I'm really awful at that. I rationalize it, why I shouldn't say it and what shouldn't. You know, what's going to go wrong and what's going to happen. But then I thought, we're always told that it's just, you've just got to be obedient and go and try. So I did afterwards go and pray for her. And she was fine. She said, yes, please. And she looked really chuffed. And I said, is one of your legs shorter than the other? And she said, yes. She'd also had two hips replaced, which kind of freaked me a bit because that's quite sort of serious. So I got her to sit on a chair. I'd been in meetings in the past where healing prayer goes on and you're sitting with your legs sort of against the back of the chair so they can see your other leg grows. So I prayed for her like that for 5 minutes and nothing happened at all. And she still looked chuffed, but I said, you know, are you feeling hot? Are you feeling anything moving, and she was like, no. So I said, oh, right, well, I'll bring a few home then. So I gave up then and went home. But as I was going to the door to leave the church hall that we meet in, three other friends that were in the group from across the room had waited for me to see what it was all about. And I got to sort of explain to them what I'd been praying and why, and what it was about and why it was different to spiritualism or any healing that was in me or anything else like that. So it really did open up conversations. So.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Can I just say, if Caroline had stood up here and said, this woman sat on her chair and I saw this woman's leg grow before my eyes, you would be shouting and screaming, wouldn't you? You'd be thinking, that is amazing. But when Caroline said, and I prayed for it and the leg didn't grow, we went, oh, that's a shame. Do you know, I want us to celebrate obedience to God's call.
Yeah.
I don't, it was not Caroline's responsibility to make her leg grow. Yeah. It just wasn't.
Yeah.
And I just think, oh no, the key thing was that she said, can I pray for you? And it didn't even matter whether she said yes or no. And I think, no, there is some, and then Caroline later was saying that you know, one of the women that came up and spoke to her after, she was at goes to a spiritualist church and it was all a bit wacky and stuff. But you know, I believe that there is a new normal coming for us when we celebrate the fact that no, we're going to step out in faith and we will press in to all that God has got for us. And I think sometimes we long for breakthroughs and we pray for breakthrough and we say, God, do this thing. And sometimes, you know, we are the breakthrough. And all we have to do is we just have to say, I think I'm just going to go and do that. I'm not going to get Pete and Linda up now, but I just think that there's something of stepping it because, so these guys have really busy jobs, they're doing lots of other things, but they really want to grow in in the prophetic ministry. And so they take, is it once a Saturday, once a month?
Yeah, once a month.
Once a month, they're taking all their Saturdays and they're going off down to the church in Horsham where Andy Robertson is. And they're just going to do a prophetic conference for once a month. They think, oh no, that's fantastic. Because it's stepping into what God is doing in our midst. Last weekend, I had a complete blast, really very quickly. In probably most of the areas where the world offers satisfaction, I had a blast. The first thing on Saturday, yes, nothing was wrong, okay, but. The first thing is, on Saturday morning, some good friends of ours took me out on the River Thames into a speedboat and we whizzed all the way down. It was absolutely one of the best things I've done in my life. Great fun. Sport. In the afternoon, my team beat their bogey team. Saracens beat Northampton. Made me quite happy. Third, friends. In Saturday evening, Jill and I went to the 50th birthday party of a girl that I was at school with. She's now a producer for the BBC. Great fun. It was just really good to see some really old friends and just have it. So it's good. So we've had fun, we've had sport, we've had friends. On Sunday, afterwards, we went and had lunch, didn't we? We went and had lunch in Edgware with some friends, and we celebrated community about what was going on in that. In the afternoon of that, we then went up to Luton Hoo. Actually, we took Russ and Renee's parents up to Luton Hoo, very smart hotel up near Luton, and we said, oh, no, we do this all the time, you know. This is not a joke. We had an afternoon sort of tea, and we played croquet on the lawn of this stately home, and we pretended that's what we do every week, you know. It's just like that. But you see, so you then had all these things. You had community, and then you had history, and you had fun, and all these things. And it was absolute blast. Did it satisfy my soul? No. It didn't. I tell you what satisfied my soul. Worshipping on Friday night. What satisfied my soul is us lot meeting together. What satisfied my soul was sitting then at the beginning of the week in my back room reading Psalm 8, knowing that God has called me to be his representative in Colindale and Barnet. And you know, there is something of that, all those other things I would do, you know, any of those other things, do you say, do you want to do it again? Yes, I'm there, I'm straight away. Does it satisfy my soul? No. The thing that satisfies my soul is wanting more of God. And right now, he is waiting to be wanted more. And I'm convinced that the only thing that will satisfy me, the only thing that will satisfy my soul, is being in Christ and knowing him. And the only thing that will transform this city is a bunch of ordinary people like us being satisfied with Jesus.